Our call to worship this morning is My Country 'Tis of Thee as we begin our Memorial Day service. It's 634 in your hymn book if you need the words, but we're going to sing the first and the last stanza. Standing, please.
Good morning. Good morning. I bet you're getting tired of seeing me. Welcome to Tramway Baptist Church. We're 1 week from celebrating the installation of our new pastor, Jacob Peterson. So, exciting times are coming. I'd like to welcome all our returning visitors. It's so good to have you in our church. And I want to say I look forward to working with you, and hopefully we can get you to come back. If you look at your bulletin, we have lots of announcements. Today is Memorial Day service, and then we're having our Lord's Supper. As you came in, I gave you the little cup. If you don't mind, as you leave, I have a trash can in the vestibule if you'll just drop those in. I don't know if you saw on the screen, we have our nominating committee members, and they're having a meeting this Wednesday. Inside the bulletin is opportunities for serving. Please write your name down and where you want to serve. If you don't, I'm going to write your name in. So everything will be covered. Patsy, okay. Yes. Again, installation service for Reverend Jacob Peterson next Sunday. And then on Monday, we have our church council meeting and missions night. And then we move graduation Sunday to the following Sunday on the 13th. We have been working on getting the codes for people that have access to the church. On the 7th, I think it is, or 8th, I've got ADS coming. We're going to wipe all the codes out. There were some duplicates, and I've asked people to give me their new numbers, and so all that will be done. And so if I don't have your code, and it's wiped clean, when you come to the church and you try to get in, the alarm will go off. Okay, and I won't give you the secret code. And again, that's what's happening at Tramway. I hope you enjoy our guest speaker today. I told him I'm going to call him until he gets it right. Oh, you don't think that's funny, huh? I said I'm going to keep calling you until you get it right.
All right.
Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Even though it's cool, we have the hot days coming, and then we'll be saying, where's that cool air? Thank you for the rain we had yesterday. Be with each person here in this congregation. As we remember the people that served in our military and gave their sacrifice of their life, we pray for their families, be with our country. Thank you for everything that's going on with the COVID that we're slowly recovering, and be with those that are still sick and in hospital. Be with all of our members that are away this weekend, celebrating this weekend. Keep them safe and bring them back to us. And we pray. Amen.
We're going to sing the first and the last stanza of Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory. It's 633 in your hymn book. Let's stand and join in singing. Morning at 1 o'clock, my little memorial emphasis totally changed, and I totally switched gears because this was what was laid on my heart. We're going to look at Memorial Day a little differently. We want to honor those men and remember those men and women who died, but I want you to look at it from a veteran's point of view. We had a member of our church, he passed away probably about 20 years ago. His name was Carl Norton. One Sunday, for some reason, nothing was said about Memorial Day. This broke this man's heart. And later I was leading something, and he just told me how he felt with tears in his eyes. Carl was in World War II, and he was one of those brave men that landed on the beach of Normandy. He didn't talk about it much, but when he did, he would relive it. And he would talk about his brothers in arms and his friends and what he saw. And at that point, I thought, we have to remember and we have to give Memorial Day its due. These veterans that come back have lost their friends, their buddies. They have seen things and they live with horrific images. But for these family and these brothers, we want to remember our fallen. And if you've known, it's like over a million have given their lives, and not all of them in combat, but in military accidents. Rachel and James Smith did our memorial garden out front, and Larry put together a slideshow. And as we remember our veterans, please pray for the families and those veterans now who remember their lost friends.
Is not Good morning. It's an honor to be back in the pulpit this morning, as Monterey said, for the final time. But I appreciate all the opportunities I've been given to stand up here and share the Word of God. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn it to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 3 through 5. We read, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also." Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered here this morning in your holy presence, Father God, we just ask that you would open our spiritual eyes to see, our spiritual ears to hear the word of you. Lord, as we remember and pay honor to those that have given their all for our freedom and the sacrifices that have been made, and the sacrifice that you made by giving your one and only Son on the cross at Calvary, we ask that you just speak to us here in your house this morning. Lord, hide me behind the cross, Lord. Give me the words to say, Lord, that I may bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Memorial Day. Memorial Day. A time each year we pause to remember. Remember those who have laid down their very lives for their family, for their friends, and for our freedom. 1 week after the Pearl Harbor attack, President Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others died to win them. Freedom is never free. It is always bought with blood." In 1 John 3:16, we read, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. In 1868, General John Logan, the president of the Grand Army of the Republic, declared that the 30th day of May would be a day to decorate the graves of comrades with flowers who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. After World War I, The day was set aside to honor all Americans who had died in war. Then the custom was extended to pay tribute to the deceased relatives and friends, both military and civilian. Memorial Day was observed on the 30th day of May until 1971, when the date was changed to the last day in May. It is also known as Declaration Day. The custom of placing flowers on the graves began on May 5th, 1866, in Waterloo, New York. And Waterloo has been known and recognized by Congress as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Colin Powell, the U.S. Secretary of State serving under former President George W. Bush, stated this truth: "Over the years, the United States has sent many of its fine men and women into Great Peril to fight for freedom beyond our borders. The only amount of land we have ever asked for in return is enough to bury those that did not return." The most solemn ceremony conducted on the Memorial Day is the placing of a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown, located in Arlington National Cemetery. And by way of background, Arlington National Cemetery is approximately 639 acres in Arlington County, Virginia, located across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. To date, there are approximately some 400,000 graves of soldiers and their eligible dependents buried in the cemetery. And in reflecting on Arlington National Cemetery and what it represents, I recall the memory a song sung by Trace Atkins entitled Arlington. And in the song, we hear these words: "I never thought this is where I would settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddaddy lay. And when we finally found the cross, he said, 'Son, this is what it costs to keep us free.' Now here I am, 1,000 graves away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground. I'm in the best of company. I'm thankful for those things I've done. I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I have made it to Arlington." Church, we are to be eternally grateful for those chosen ones that gave their all for you and me. No question about it, church, Memorial Day is a day to be set aside to pause, to remember, and to give thanks for those that gave their all for you and me. To quote the former President Ronald Reagan, "Some people live their entire life and wonder if they have ever made a difference in the world. Our fallen heroes do not have that problem. And sadly, for a number of Americans, Memorial Day represents nothing more than a 3-day weekend, another reason to grill out, have friends over, an extra day at the lake or at the beach." And please don't misunderstand me, church. There's nothing wrong with these things. However, for those that have lost someone because of war or military action, a long Memorial Day weekend means much more than an extra day off work. In fact, church, every American ought to humbly recognize Memorial Day and honor those that gave their life to make America what it is today: free, strong, and a nation worth fighting for. Amen, church? Because men and women have died for this country, we have the right to preach the Word of God openly and freely. We have the right to live in peace in our homes. We have the right to pursue peace, prosperity, and happiness. We need to thank God for those who have made us free. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. We need to mourn the loss, remember the lives, and be thankful for the sacrifices that were made for you and me. Likewise, church, we need to remember the one who died and set us free from our sins. Jesus Christ fought the armies of hell so that we might have liberty in his name. Every week is a celebration of the memorial of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we gather together in his house to worship is to be a memorial day for every born-again believer of God. Thomas Stephen Monahan was born March 25, 1937, and founded Domino's Pizza in 1960. Monahan had a vision to grow his small pizza chain in Ann Arbor, Michigan, into one of the largest. And in 1985, the company was the second largest pizza company in America. When asked how he accomplished this, Monahan explained, "I programmed everything for growth. Every day we develop people because the key to growth is people." It is worth noting that Monahan did not make mention of any special cheeses or sauce, a tasty crust, or fast delivery. It was just people. Full disclosure, I don't know where Monahan got his idea, but I know when the importance of people first started. It started with our very own Creator. For God said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." He continued in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." God said, "Let us make man in our image." God did not say, "Let us make dog in our image. Let us make trees in our image." God made mankind the most important thing in all of his creation. God wanted all of his people saved. If he didn't love people, then why did he go to the cross for the sins of his people? People are important to God, and he calls us as his children to love people and to remember people. As a general rule, human beings by nature are guilty of forgetting and taking too lightly the blessings bought with blood. Both the blood of our servicemen and women, as well as the blood of Jesus Christ, has purchased our individual freedom from fear, death, and hell, as well as the slavery of sin. And I wonder, church, how often do we pause to remember? How often do we pause to remember the cost of our freedom? How often? As a commuter train service station, a policeman noticed a woman driver with her head bowed over the steering wheel in obvious discomfort. The police officer asked her, "Is there anything wrong?" Half crying and half laughing, she said, "For 10 years, I have been driving my husband to the station every morning to catch his train. This morning, I forgot him." Memory is a tricky thing. I knew Sherry was going to like that one. Particularly as we get older, memory is a tricky thing. Have you ever been having a conversation with someone and had them stop and ask, "What was I saying? Where was I going with that?" Memory is a tricky thing. There are some things, however, we should never forget. One of those is the sacrifices that have been made on our behalf. Even with a national holiday once a year, we are forgetful people. The phrase "out of sight and out of mind" applies most of the time. The worst forgetfulness, however, is forgetting people. We should never forget the soldiers of our country who gave their lives for our freedom. Many brave men and women died in service fighting for our country's freedom so that we could enjoy life and the freedom that we so often take for granted. Make no mistake about it, church, freedom and life never come without a price. The blood of many fine soldiers paid for the freedom that we have today. A price had to be paid for freedom and life, and that price is the death of another. Someone or something has to die in order that we may live. One of the biggest lessons that we need to learn as children of God is God did not put us here on this earth for us. God put us here for others. Therefore, we need to be concerned about others and remember others. In our text this morning, church, we see Paul remembering his friend Timothy. Paul remembered Timothy in several ways. He remembered to pray for him. No matter where we are or what we may be doing, no matter what physical limitations we may be faced with, we can pray for one another. Paul remembered the pain in Timothy's life. He remembered Timothy's tears, and he remembered that Timothy was a man of faith in the Lord. Timothy was important to Paul. Paul's great concern wasn't about himself or what was going on in his life. It was for Timothy and his successes of the gospel ministry. Paul encouraged his beloved colleague Timothy to remain faithful, for Paul was a great encourager to young Timothy. We read in verse 3, "I remember you in my prayers night and day." Paul was well aware of Timothy's struggles and hardships. Paul was praying for Timothy, and it was not a routine prayer as one may think. Paul's praying over Timothy was a prayer of compassion and concern. We see Paul's confidence in Timothy in verse 5. Paul stated that he had recalled to remembrance the genuine faith of Timothy. Paul did not think that Timothy's tears were evidence of failure or insincerity. Paul knew very well that Timothy's faith would see him through the troubles he was facing. Paul had watched Timothy's life during the years they served together. Paul knew that Timothy was given great and marvelous opportunities to serve the Lord. And just as Paul remembered young Timothy, church, God puts us here to remember people as well. We need to remember the deceased, and we need to remember the living. We need to remember the deceased, for we read in Romans 1, 8, and 9, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." We need to look back and remember people. We need to remember all those that have fallen in battle. We should remember our deceased veterans, our deceased family members, and our deceased friends. For originally, Memorial Day was celebrated and created to remember the deceased Civil War veterans. However, over the years, it has become a time to remember all deceased veterans and our deceased loved ones. This is the primary reason Memorial Day is referred to Declaration Day. People still go to grave sites of their loved ones to decorate them as a sign that they are not forgotten. We need to remember our deceased loved ones. One spring morning in 1866, just after the Civil War had devastated the South, a group of Southerners did something quite extraordinary. They marched down the street of what was left of their town to a cemetery. They decorated the graves of the soldiers, all of the soldiers, the Union and the Confederate. The mothers and daughters had buried their dead. Now they were there to bury their hatred. The time for healing had come. It was the first Memorial Day. At the National Cemetery of Long Island, I read it has become necessary to advertise for volunteers to place flags on the graves of veterans as a number of the veteran volunteers have deceased. However, many of the volunteers has no idea why they are there. One particular young man, a 13-year-old scout, was asked if he understood why they were placing flags on the graves. He quickly responded to get service hours. What a shame, church. We need to remember the debt we owe others, especially our fallen heroes. You and I do not have what we have today because of our efforts alone. There is no greater myth than that of a self-made man or woman. We owe an enormous debt of gratitude from the moment we breathe our first breath. Some of that debt is owed to the young men and women that shed their blood on the battlefields near and far. Many of them gave their lives because they truly believe freedom is worth fighting for. Last night on the evening news, a report featured a 96-year-old Anthony Grasso, a World War II veteran who traveled from Boston to South Carolina this week to pay his respects to the fellow soldier who saved his life. A moment that Grasso said was more than 75 years in the making. Grasso arrived at Charleston International Airport on Thursday, determined to pay his respects to Lieutenant Frank DeBose, who was 24 when an artillery attack killed him instantly by an artillery blast that scouted enemy positions in Wassenach, Germany back on November 2nd, 1944. DeBose was later buried in Camden's Quaker Cemetery. Grasso visited DeBose's final resting place Friday to say a prayer and place a white rose on his lieutenant's grave. And I quote, "Nobody but me and him know what we went through that final day," Grasso said. "I am glad I had the chance to pay my final respects to the man that saved my life. God bless him." And he went on to say, "Thank you, everyone, for helping me make this day a great person that saved my life." To DeBose, he said, "God bless you, Frank. I'll meet you soon." We read in Revelation 14, 13, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they may rest from their labors and their works may follow them.' Take heart, remember, and rejoice. In Christ we will live forevermore. As someone once said, death is not a period, but a comma in the story of a Christian's life." We also need to remember the living church. Ron was a 15-year-old teenager, a 10th grade student at Granger High School. It was game day, and he was the only sophomore suited up to play with the varsity football team. Excitedly, he invited his mother to come, and she brought several of her friends. When the game finally ended, she was waiting outside the locker room to drive Ron home. Ron asked his mother, "What did you think of the game? Did you see the 3 touchdown passes our team made, and our tough defense, and the fumble on the kickoff that we returned and recovered?" His mother replied, "Ron, you were magnificent. You had such presence, and I am proud of the pride you took in the way you looked. You pulled up your knee socks 11 times during the game. I could tell you were perspiring in all that bulky pads. You got 8 drinks and splashed water on your face twice. I really like how you went out of your way to pat number 19, number 5, and number 90 on the back every time they came off the field." Ron said, "Mom, how do you know all that? And how can you say I was magnificent? I didn't even play in the game." And his mother smiled and hugged him. "Ron, I don't know anything about football. I didn't come here to watch the game. I came here to watch you." And the moral of the story is this, church: people count most of all. Football is fine, and football is fantastic for some people, but people are supreme. People are more important than football. And Philippians 2, 3, and 4 reminds us, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others." And that was the story of a widow lady in a church I recently read about. She had only one son, and he was deceased. She was known for always looking out for others and thinking of others. She said one time, "I believe in giving flowers to the living." By that, she meant she believed in remembering people while they were living. She loved doing things for the living. She didn't wait to send flowers in honor of the deceased. She did that, but she preferred to give flowers in various forms to the living, whether it be by bicycles, refrigerators, cars, or any other need a person may have. People need to know that we care about them, love them, and remember them. The great theologian John Wesley offers us some words of wisdom at this point, and I think we could employ these in our daily life. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Let me say that again. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. I am grateful for the opportunities God has afforded me to serve Him here, and I am even more grateful for the family of God we have here at Tramway that puts Wesley's words to action both inside and outside the walls of this fellowship. For we read in Galatians 6, 9, and 10, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith." J. Wilbur Chapman told the story of a soldier who was mortally wounded. His buddy Jim stayed by his side through the long and lonely illness to the very end. "Jim, I'm gonna die," Charles whispered to his friend. Knowing Jim had no family of his own, Charlie added, "But I want you to go back to my mother and take my place there." "But Charlie, your mother doesn't know me," Jim reminded his dying comrade, "and she would not allow me to come into her home to live as her son." "I will write her a letter and you will take it to her," Charlie explained. The letter told the mother of her son's ill fortunes, of his wounds and of his suffering, and how Jim had stuck by him day and night through it all. The letter closed like this: "Mother, receive Jim for my sake." Jim carefully tucked the letter away in his waistcoat. After the close of the war, he went to Charlie's hometown and sought out his mother's home. He knocked at the door and stood waiting, ragged and worn from the ravages of war, a very insightful character. As the lady opened the door, she looked upon him and thought, "Just another beggar passing by." But as Jim handed her the letter through the half-open door, she read it, recognizing her son's handwriting. When she read the last line, "Mother, receive Jim for my sake," the expression on her face changed. Tears of deep emotion welled up inside of her, and she threw the door open wide, receiving Jim for Charlie's sake. The Word of God reminds us that acceptance is the story of the cross. God accepts us as His own beloved children for Christ's sake. We may not understand why it had to be this way, but we look at the cross and we see an open door. We remember. We remember those that died that we may live in freedom. We remember those that died that we may live in faith. We remember Jesus Christ that died that we may live forever in glory. That's the ultimate meaning of Memorial Day. It is a day to remember. Our country's brave men and women died that we might have a life of freedom, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, died that we might live eternal. Jesus Christ died for our spiritual freedom and told us in John 8:36, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And in John 10:10, Jesus tells us, "I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly." Jesus paid for our spiritual freedom and gave us a crown in heaven when He died on the cross. There is no freedom without the shedding of blood. We should never forget our many soldiers who died for our freedom here in America. And more importantly, we must never forget our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave His own life on the cross that we may have eternal life. This week, church, as we celebrate Memorial Day, let us stop and thank God for those who paid the price for our freedom. Let us also remember to thank Jesus Christ, who has set us free from the penalty of sin, because He was willing to pay the price. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father God, here in your place this morning, we thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice that you made on the cross at Calvary, Lord, and the sin debt that you took that was ours, Lord. And we thank you for the many brave men and women that have given their life, Lord, for our freedom, Lord. May we never forget the sacrifices that have been made and the sacrifice that continue to be made to defend our freedom and to keep the greatest nation in the world free. We ask that you continue to speak to us through our time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to have our invitation time, hymn number 295, Near the Heart of God. And if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus' gift of eternal life, I ask you to search your heart, and I'll be down front if you need to come forward and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you're visiting with us and you feel the Lord leading you to join our fellowship here at Trinway Baptist Church. We'd love to have you come publicly and make that statement known. I'll be down front and ask you come as the Lord leads.